with your boy Ben Fire. Oh yeah, BNA is entertainment.
It's newest on the mix.
Tech G on the beat.
Many, many things on my way don't stop. Phone to you, we are no beat up. So baby, me, me, you need less so. Say better than that, so I know they fall. Many, many things on my way don't stop. Phone to you, we are no beat up. So baby, me, you need less so. Better than that, so I know they fall. No pocket pay for where I come from. I've been up to every day since so far. Making more money till that thing don't come. Papel on me down for I know for. Phone to you, your money no small. Even at my age, don't you think me come. I promise myself never to give up. I dare to open you to have some fun. I be like holy stone, I don't get bust up. Man, no be God, and no be stop us. Make the carry dead, and no be catch us. I bury my love before the roadblock. Many, many things on my way don't stop. We are no feet up. So baby, me, me, you need less so. Say better desire, so I know they come. Many, many things on my radar so. To you, we are no feet up. So baby, me, you need less so. Better desire, so I know they come. I know they come, I stand it up. 1 kilo fair girl, go ask up. They hate on me, they won't see me fall. If you did my shoe, no go wish me for. Say story of my life, show my true love. In a very long time, Timothy Stanley. Better desire, so I no panic. Got my eyes on the past, so I must watch that. You need me, but my knees don't lie. They underrate me, so no tell me come come. I'm a king on some. I see nobody when the money no day. Want to see time, I want a lot of room. Like, you won't be my any cousin. If I go, so won't be my any cousin. Many, many things on my way don't stop. Phone to you, we are no feet up. So bad with me, you need less so. Say better desire, so I know they come. Many, many things on my way don't stop.
All right, it's a beautiful Monday morning right here in the city of Abeokuta. This is the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station, Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. My name is Binga Oreshogun, and yes, I'm the man you just have to love. The platform comes on your radio every weekday from Mondays and from Monday and Wednesday. Monday and Wednesday from 10 o'clock in the morning all the way till 11. Now, on the platform this morning, we're going to be, you know, looking at the crisis between Israel and the Palestinian nation, the Israel-Gaza, Israel-Hamas war, and the United Nations agency, the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, over the weekend said that 48 of its sites across the Gaza Strip have been damaged since the war broke out. Now, let's also remind you that about 1.5 million Gazans have been displaced, and almost half of them are sheltering in United Nations installation. The United Nations also says that its shelters are increasingly overcrowded, and those in the south are unable to accept new arrivals. Many displaced people are sleeping on the streets near the United Nations Refugee Agency facilities. Israel has also declared northern Gaza an evacuation zone, with that part of the territory the focus of its military operations against Hamas. I'm not going to be doing the conversation. I'm not going to be doing the talking alone. I have a public affairs commentator in person of Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Owolabi, the one they call Mao. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
All right, so you're going to give us Chief. Mustafa is going to be giving us an understanding of the situation in that region and why Nigeria should be concerned. And also, is it okay for Nigeria to take sides? All right, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very
much. All right,
much.
So let's start. The Israeli-Hamas in a state of war. Mm-hmm. Since the war broke out, what are your observations?
Well, thank you for having me. A lot of us had tried to limit the current crisis to October 7. It did not start in October 7. It started
way back
before some of our forefathers. But a lot of commentators, analysts, and opinion writers had stated that the crisis mainly or majorly began in 1948 when the State of Israel was proclaimed and I believe ratified by the United Nations, to the disagreement of the Arab nation, particularly the Palestinians, that are the inhabitants of the territory where Israel was supposed to have its own nation. And some people will even move it back to 4th and 2nd century, up to the 5th century, that the Jewish people did not just appear in 1947.
Mm.
They've been in existence.
Exactly, they were
as
somewhere.
As long as we or the human race has been in existence. And advent of war causes displacement for people and territories. So that is that about that. But like, if you ask me, I will tell you the culprit of all this problem is the Britain. The Britain were the one that gave the land away, and you don't give what doesn't belong to you away. That was the beginning and genesis of the problem. When they were the colonizer of the Palestinian area, and when they were leaving, I think towards the end of the World War II, they decided they were going to, I mean, through the lobbying of some Zionists in the UK,
the Zionists,
that to some of their politicians, the Britain, or Great Britain as they call them, gives that place to them to go and organize the State of Israel. And that is where the crisis actually began. They tried to manage it politically, but they couldn't. Then they turned it over to the UN.
So originally, the Palestinians owned the land.
They were the inhabitants of the land.
They were the inhabitants of the land. Okay.
Yes.
The inhabitants of the land. And the Israelis...
For about 2 millennia.
Those one could be termed as settlers.
Well, that's what they call them. If you're not the original,
if you're original,
the land,
exactly,
you came there to stay.
So they're settlers. Now, with all of this,
and to actually buttress your fact that the land were Palestinian, the Jewish that were coming from Europe and every other place, they had to obtain Palestinian passports.
They had to obtain Palestinian passports.
Yes, including one of their Hilda, what's her name? There was a prime minister that actually said famously that she was a proud Palestinian because she carried a Palestinian passport. And she was one of the prime ministers of Israel, a female. Actually, forget the name at the moment.
But now looking at this, the fact that, okay, the Palestinians were the original inhabitants of the land. And they...
Golda Meir,
okay. Now, they were the settlers. How did he now get to this point where Israel now decide to encroach and keep encroaching and... you know, turn themselves to bullies of some sort? Where did the problem start?
Well, the so-called problem, or what the Arab would call intifada, started just in 1948. Before then, Arab and Israelis, I mean, Palestinian and the Jewish people, they coexist. They lived in the same place.
Together.
No problem. The Jewish live in Egypt, they live in Iraq, they live in Syria, they live all the place. They don't have any problem with anybody. Some of them are still there. But in 1948, once that land was allotted, I'm going to use that word, to the
Israelis,
Zionist
state. The Zionist state, okay.
Because Israelis are all over the world, but the Arab League or the Arab people at that time, they revolted.
Okay.
That was majorly Jordan, Egypt, I think Syria, they fought it. They started a war. And once that war ended, there are consequences to war.
Sure.
Israel defeated this Arab nation with the support of the superpower, of course. And in the course of war, you gain territory.
You gain territory, that's true.
So that border, the line that was allocated to them by the UN shifted. So it was years later when they started making peace with Jordan and Egypt that they gave back some land, like the Golan Heights and the rest of them that was given back to those Egypt. Otherwise, the Israelis has conquered. They gave them only 20% of the Palestinian territory, but they expanded it during the war, and they become the owners by virtue of the war. So, but ever since the creation of the so-called Zionist state, the Palestinians have resisted their being there. In fact, they've declared the fact that they want them gone.
They want them gone.
Yeah, so that's one of the major problems with Hamas and the current Israeli state. It is in their constitution that they want the destruction of Israel. So it is going to be very hard for you to make peace with somebody
that wants to destroy
you. Annihilate you totally. So, but Israel also is culpable. They created Hamas.
Okay, they created
Hamas. They created Hamas, not physically, but trying to use divide and rule with the Fatah movement.
Okay.
That's how Hamas came into play. Mm. Hamas used to be just an Islamic fighters.
Like militia. Militia, just a normal local
that
militia.
That is not this pronounced. Mm. They were somewhat part of PLO, but Israeli thought divide and rule would work. That's where we are today.
Okay.
In, I think it was 1995 that there was an election and they defeated the Fatah movement, which was run by the PLO, and they become the governing council, so to say.
Okay.
Not really governing, Israel still supervise everything that happened in Palestine,
okay,
of the Gaza Strip. And Israel gave them, I think it was about 20,000 work permits for them to come into Israel and make money.
Okay.
And it's also on record that some of their leaders were being influenced by Israel.
Mm.
So it's a lot of moving parts to the current problem.
It crisis has been that we there have right now.
Is basically, it's not about religion or anything. It's about geopolitics.
Hmm. Now, when this crisis started, my elder brother called me from the UK and said, Benga, who are you supporting? Israel or the Palestinian state? And I felt like, oh, okay. I didn't like the way Hamas gave them that surprise attack. And I said, well, in a way, I think I'm going to support Israel. Because I wasn't updated with the facts on ground. But I just felt that, okay, why would Hamas just give them a surprise attack at the time? And I said, okay, I think I'll support Israel. You know, asked me another question. Russia, Ukraine, who are you supporting? I said, well, I'm going to support Ukraine in this one. Because Russia, they went into a sovereign state and, you know, tried to. And he said that you're hypocritical. He said, I'm biased. I felt, why? That was when he now tried to explain this. Israel has been doing some things underground. Some might even say that not well reported to the Palestinian people in the Gaza area and all. But now that Hamas have now come back to hit them back. But then let me come to you. There's absolute chaos in the Middle East at the moment. Complete catastrophe. And humanitarian crisis in that region. Looking at what is going on, who is to blame here? If we are to trade blames here, is it the Israeli state or the Palestinians? You know, putting in the Hamas? You know, who is to blame here?
There's enough blame to go around. Like when I started the program, I said nobody else to be blamed than Great Britain.
Great Britain, from that time, beginning.
Now, if you fast forward it,
yes.
Hamas or Palestinians does not have a state. So
yes.
They are not lucky enough to have an army.
Hmm.
They do not have their own police.
Yes.
They had something in West Bank supervised by Israel with like a security outfit. But they did not have the state resources. They don't have an airport, no seaport, no passport as it stands today. So the only people or group of people that cannot resist the occupation is the Hamas. So I don't know if you can blame them. And Hamas going into the territory of Israel to attack them on the 7th is not in isolation. It is a long period of oppression and hostility between the two. Like you said, something was unreported. Palestinian dies almost on a daily basis.
On a daily basis?
In their country, by Israel, the occupier. That is a country that occupied their own nation. And basically, whatever governing body they have is being supervised by Israel. Their army are the Israeli army, even though they don't protect them. Like, you know, they have settlers in Palestinian territory, but the settler can go into your house, run you out, you know, pop inflammable in your house, shoot at you, chase you away, and nobody
will do anything.
So the pent-up emotion is there for the Hamas.
Okay.
But again, for humanity's sake, you said, why would you just go in and murder 1,400 people? So in order for us to just be human, we have to look at the humanity part of what is going on. 1,400 people died in Israel, 229, 230 is being held hostage. By the time we leave the show today, over 10,000 Palestinians will have been dead.
Could have been dead.
1.5, like you said, has been displaced.
And more are still getting displaced.
We're not counting now thousands of injured children, women, and even men. I think I will be on the path of humanity, and I won't be able. This is not the time to trade blames. Mm. This is the time to look for solutions.
Okay.
And like you said earlier, the nation of our country, the Nigerian government, is supposed to have a stand. If for nothing, for humanity's sake.
All right, let's bring it down to hypocrisy now. The Arab leaders. The Arab leaders, some said that they abandoned the Palestinian cause. So they said, okay, when they said they recognized the state of Israel, the Palestinians, why are they now being hypocritic about the Palestinian cause? And the hypocrisy of the international community, the United States. Yeah. Speak to that.
Well, everybody at some point will go back to his chambers or his territory and try to protect his people. You have to remember the Arab, or what I would say, the Jordan, Egypt, Syria, they've tried one time, and you know what happened, to intervene in the crisis in 1948. So
Oslo agreement?
Yeah, not the agreement, intervene through the war.
Okay, through the war,
and
okay.
And you know what happened. So everybody is kind of mindful of not starting
another regional war.
Second, the world is a global village now. Everybody goes to U.S. for one thing or the other. It's Egypt, Jordan, before Syria becomes an aberration, all of them receive some kind of aid from United States. The only people that has disappointed the war in this current crisis is Russia and, in large part, United States, who, as at now, is the only nation that has some leverage against the state of Israel. Some leverage, not a whole lot. We look at it more than what it's worth. United States don't have as much leverage as we think they have. They don't. Otherwise, why do you give money to a country that's economically sufficient? It's to create leverage. But the current leader does not understand the language of persuasion. That's Benjamin Netanyahu.
Okay, Israel. Okay,
yeah,
Benjamin.
He doesn't understand the language of persuasion. He does what he wanted to do. Secondly, United States is handicapped in a way. Some radio program in the United States, if you go to them and you criticize Israel, you'll be torn off the air. Even you as a host, you'll be suspended. If you're in a university, if you're a university professor and you talk bad about Israel and support Hamas in a way, not being sectional, just being objective, they will sanction you. They call them, they cancel them. And some young kid now that were caught in the protests,
yes,
and they were supposed to go for internship. Now their internship has been withdrawn, some of them fired. So basically, the largest contributor as it stands to United States economy are the Israelis.
Now, that speaks.
And even the government,
okay,
if you look at the composition of our Congress, maybe about a quarter of them are Jewish by faith.
Sure.
If you look at the government, even the chief diplomat of the United States, Anthony Blinken, is a Jew.
He's a Jew.
So you have the Treasury Secretary, you have all these people, even in the Defense Department, all of them are Jews. So, like I said,
Have affected
the current situation.
Or
the leverage they can use other than persuasion. They cannot just tell Israel, don't do this. They just have to placate them, palate them.
Now the person, Benjamin Netanyahu. I was told that before he became president, prime minister actually, he actually assured that this issue will be solved. That he kind of trying to find a solution to this Palestinian issue, but because some have also said that because he wanted to elongate his tenure, as prime minister, he went to bed with some politicians, some powerful people who are against the Palestinians, and because of that, he turned against them. Because one thing he said before coming into power was, he will sort it out, but now that he has actually gone to bed with some certain individuals, he has now turned his back and let's destroy Palestinians. What do you have to say about the man, the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
Well, it's a man that's hungry for power, so he would do anything to gain power. So that's about Benjamin Netanyahu. He might have said that. I wasn't there. I've not even read much about it. But he would do anything to stay in power.
Mm.
And a lot of Israelis, people, are actually blaming him for the crisis we have right now. That because of his arrogancy to power or trying to cling to power or the problem he has with their Supreme Court trying to change the constitution, well, that's what took his eyes off the ball.
Hmm.
That Hamas attack of October 7 wouldn't have happened. So he has a lot of questions to answer. Then, of course, he has this charge of corruption that he was facing in his country.
Hmm.
So it's a lot of blame on him.
Hmm.
But it's true, again, that he went into bed with some politician. I mean, look at someone like, what's his name, the current Israeli Prime Minister for Defense. He actually referred to the Palestinians as human animals.
Hmm.
So what do you do with one animal? Just kill them all.
Kill them all.
So that one is correct, that he went to bed with people that he shouldn't have gone into bed with just to be prime minister.
Yes.
That could be part of it. However, a lot of Israeli sympathizers would say, okay, this current massacre or whatnot wouldn't have occurred had it not been the attack of October 7th.
Are you surprised that Saudi Arabia, who also could be termed as a world power, world economic power, okay, is not looking at this crisis, but instead going around different countries, talking about the World Cup in the midst of this crisis? Are you surprised, though?
Well, that's what I told you about people. They start looking for their own interests. When the ship comes to shore, everybody start thinking about.
Is it because it's just the Palestinians? Let them, if they want to be wiped out, let
them
be wiped out.
Even don't regard Palestinians as Arabs.
Some
of them do not. Some of the Saudis don't think they're Arabs. So that's why you have this major issue. Because you look at Jordan, who has half of their population are Palestinians.
Mm.
Even the wife of the king is a Palestinian, Jordanian queen.
Yes.
Rana. So Egypt has a large population of Palestinians. I'm not sure. The Saudi, of course not. But you've seen countries like Qatar, you know, supporting the causes. Qatar has, you know, stood now as the main mediator between the international world and the Hamas.
Hmm.
And they've been pressuring Qatar to actually give up all the Palestinian, well, I wouldn't say Hamas, political leader that are in his country, and they refused.
Hmm.
So you cannot blame them. At the same time, if had it been the Arab people stood with one voice vehemently, it wouldn't have gone this bad. At the same time, the current war in Ukraine is part of the problem.
It's part of the problem.
Because Russia does not have as much leverage as it used to have before
the Russia-Ukraine crisis.
Ukraine. So now you are left with just America dictating the pace. And America, on the other hand,
is
supplying weaponry to Israel to bomb these people, the Palestinians. And so how can you be an honest broker in this situation? So the world is clamoring for humanitarian pause or ceasefire before America will come to that pause aspect of it. It took them about 2 weeks. The whole Gaza Strip has been destroyed. And as we are seeing today, we only seen civilians being massacred. Nobody has shown us pictures of Hamas fighters being killed.
Being killed.
I've not seen one on my television say, like, okay, this is an Hamas fighter that was killed.
But they're not reporting
that. No, nobody is reporting that. Not Al Jazeera, because if they have dead Hamas people, when they kill them in Israel, when they attack them,
it's widely reported.
They show them on the floor, but they've killed almost 10,000 people. But you've not shown us pictures of Hamas fighters that were killed.
They're being massacred.
Up till now. So it's just civilians that were being killed. And it's against the international law.
Now, we're still going to talk about the international law. What do you think about the two-state solution? Because talking about, for those who don't know what the two-state solution, because this is a situation that, because the two-state solution has been on since 1936. Now, the former Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat, rejected the two-state solution.
For a reason.
Mahmoud Abbas, who is the current head of the Palestinian, now also has rejected the two-state solution. Now, for those who don't know what the two-state solution is, it is the two-state solution to the bitter that has beset the region for almost a century. It is talking about dividing the land between Jordan River and the Mediterranean to carve out two independent, sovereign Israeli and Palestinian states, existing side by side, and has repeatedly been endorsed, you know, by world leaders. But the issue, some people have argued that the Palestinians don't want the Israel to exist. Why do you think these two warring nations are not agreeing to the two-state agreement?
I don't think that's totally true. To some of their extremists, it's possible, you know, like maybe the, what they call them, the armed aspect, the armed group in the Hamas.
Who
said, oh, they probably don't want Israel to exist. But if there's an objective and constructive two-state solution where Palestinians as a whole have a future of self-governance, they will accept. And I'll give you an example. They've accepted a solution, a two-state solution in this aspect, that they want them to return to 1967 border.
Okay. That's the way not, the border was,
yeah, it was
in 1967.
The way the geography was made before the war. So Israeli rejected that.
How
one.
Possible is that? Because there's been a war, you know, they've conquered land.
Well, they have an agreement then. They said they want them to return to their agreement. The Israeli, of course, rejected that. Even the remaining land at this moment, as at we speak, as at this time, the settlers, the young settlers, they go into the villages and towns and chase the Palestinian out of the one that belonged to them, even as at now, not even the pre-1948 or 1967 border. So you can say on both sides, none of them is being honest about two-state solution. And the international community that could have come in and get this thing done, they are toothless dog. I mean, look at 10,000 massacre. In Bosnia, it was over 5,000 before Clinton sent U.S. Army and everybody to go start bombing them. But we have close to 10,000 and nobody is and people
still.
Cannot even, you know, sincerely said ceasefire. Only Arab can say ceasefire. Anybody that says ceasefire, they said it's an anti-Semite. So
America can't do that because of its alliance with Israel.
Of course. They're using their weapon.
Yeah. So, Russia can't do
can't
it because of
they are bogged down in the gunkmire.
Exactly.
In,
Ukraine.
So they're just at the mercy of...
So the only person that can actually solve, you know, call for a ceasefire are the Arab nations.
Well, I mean, Arab nation has to do that with fights. You can't just tell Israel to stop. You have to get up. Turkey has to get up, Saudi has to get up, and Syria has to get up. All of them has to get up and start fighting. Then the world might listen, but you know what that will turn into. We might be seeing another third world war. So everybody is being very cautious about not escalating the tension, because all they need is two Arab nations to join, then it becomes a religious or Arab war. And they don't want that to happen. But continuously, there's massacre of babies, women, and even men that are not part of this crisis. So U.S. is the only person at the moment that can really make things happen through diplomatic or arm twisting. And that's where you see Tony Blinken been going from state to state.
Yeah, he's been going everywhere. He's been sitting everywhere.
They're also talking to Lebanon people, but please don't exacerbate this thing. In public, they are, you know, muscling them, but in private, they're sending emissary, please calm down, because we all know what it will turn into. And even us, even we in Nigeria will be affected when there's a world war. Everybody will have to take side at some point.
Where does Nigeria stand here?
You're going to have to hide.
Someone said, will it be okay for Nigeria to take sides?
Well, you should take side on the side of the humanity at the moment. You can't take side against Palestinian or Israeli at this time, but you should be on the side of humanity. But there are a lot of things that have been going on social media about the end of the world. It's a Christian, religious stuff. But the Jewish will kill Muslims. They kill Christians too.
They are not Christian. That's what
I mean. Jewish religion is a lot closer. The Torah is a lot closer to Quran than Bible. The Jewish people don't recognize Jesus. They think Christians are idol worshippers.
True. I saw a video.
But we sit down here and be thinking the world is coming. It's in the Bible. That's not it. It is basically geopolitics. You know, people are fighting over land, and they've been fighting for years and centuries. But I will tell you, the crisis was exacerbated by the current Russia problem. If Russia and China have decided to be somehow neutral
to this,
so that's another superpower that could have
come in and say, let's solve this thing.
But they've decided to be neutral. We are other countries, you know, building their economy, And of course, the Jewish people have gone all over the world. They are in many governments around the world. If you go to British Parliament, they are there. You go to American Congress, they are there. So
Canada, they're there.
Yes, but there are still people among them who don't support this. It would be wrong for us to just be blanket about the support for Israel to be just all the Jewish people. No, a lot of them don't support the Zionist regime. Israel don't have a state, or it's an artificial state to a lot of Orthodox Jews.
Okay,
it's not the state that the God promised them, so to say. So a lot of Jews are protesting in the U.S., in London, in U.K., and other places. So we should all. I usually don't want to say this as an analyst, we're praying for peace. We should all be working towards peace.
Working towards peace.
But there's one thing that's very clear. There is no peace without justice.
Without justice.
Anywhere in the world.
True. Now let's talk about the international law. It looks like the international law is at stake here, because the Israelis seems to be adopting a scorched earth policy. As they're saying that you must move from one part of Gaza to the other. And yes, the Hamas themselves are threatening to kill off all the hostages that they have with them. Now, where does this leave the regime of international law, the international war order, the humanitarian crisis? Why is there a total abandonment of the humanitarian law?
Well, there's no abandonment. Laws are only good if they are a respecter of law. Law is just a piece of paper. It's as good when people respect
the law.
If you don't respect the law, it's just nothing. It's a document. It's a document. And in order for people to respect law, there must be consequence.
Okay.
Israelis or the Zionist state of Israel has no consequence for their action. They've never had one. Until such a time when there's a consequence, that's when they will start to respect law. They have no respect for human rights, international law, genocide law, law of war. They don't care. You know, the law basically states that you cannot, even though Hamas has been known to use civilian as a shield, but the international law still say when the damage to civilian is going to be more than what you're trying to achieve, you cannot do it. But Israel don't care. They'll bomb them.
Because I've seen videos where they bomb hospitals. So,
but like I said, the law is only as good as when you respect it. Or when there is consequence. As at now, there's no consequence for Israel on anything they do. So I cannot tell you that they can't take Netanyahu to Hague and say they're going to prosecute for war crime. It's not even a signatory to it. The country of Israel, as they claim to be a democratic nation, they are not a signatory to Hague. So you cannot really be prosecuting people that are not going to cooperate with you.
Where does the United Nations stand here? Since you talked about Israel, they are not respecting it, the bomb hospitals. The United Nations, are they helpless here?
Unfortunately, you can say that. They are really helpless. The only arm of the United States, that's the nation, the only member of the United States that can help to
talk about the Security Council.
Yeah, the Security Council that can help to put pressure on Israel to do A, Y, and Z is United States. And they are also complicit in the war.
How about China as well? China has decided to stay
neutral. They've stated their position. They will support humanitarian activities or action, but they are not taking side for yes or no on either side. So they've said they're not going to get involved in any war, but they will vote in favor of humanity. That's why they will vote in support of ceasefire
and aid coming in there.
I mean, the gravest of all war crime is denial of food,
water, and medicine.
Before the war, over 100 trucks will go into Gaza every day to just support those people. They are 46% unemployment rate. So at a point, they will not allow a single truck to come in there. Now they say they won't give them fuel to even carry goods and materials to all these UN outposts. So it's a lot of things that have been done that we all know is against international law, it's against humanitarian law, or they are considered genocidal in nature. But what has the United Nations done? Nothing other than just shout. The Secretary General one time raised alarm and said, this is war crime, this is this. The U.S. ambassador, I mean, the Israeli ambassador said he has to resign. There was outcry from Jewish people that, oh, he's an anti-Semite because he said that. So they've captured the world in a way people cannot imagine. Every aspect, media, technology, defense, they've captured the world and they are now using that power they've got for humanity. And I don't see a two-state solution happening.
You don't see a two-state solution happening. If you just joined us, we're talking about the Israel-Palestinian crisis. We have Chief Mustafa Abdul-Hakim Owolabi, otherwise called Mao, a public affairs commentator. We're having a conversation concerning the Israel-Palestinian crisis, or call it Israel-Hamas war, that is actually going on. It's now a full-blown war. People are dying in their thousands, millions displaced. What will solve this issue? Is it the United Nations? Is it the United States? Which superpower will be able to sit those two stubborn heads countries down and say, hey, let's sort this out? But anyway, let's talk more about the Iran in this matter. How much of a factor is Iran in this matter? Because we have heard Iran warning the United States to be careful. Should Iran be condemned for supporting Hamas?
I mean, that's part of the bullying tactic of the United States. On one hand, you are supporting Israel.
Israel.
On the other hand, you do not want anyone to support Hamas. But you know what they've done carefully? And I want to take you back a little bit.
Okay.
When there was the Fatah and the Hamas were having issues in Gaza.
Yes.
It is on record that the Israelis were sharing the Hamas people on. And people have said the goal was to make Hamas, who at that time has been identified or has been labeled, let me say identified, labeled as a terrorist group. So they want Hamas to win and be in control of Gaza so that now they can label the Hamas movement or whatever they call the organization as a terrorist organization. And that is what allowed them to be able to do what they're doing, because they're telling the U.S. these are terrorists. But they've forgotten that they supported them to come to power. They've given 20,000 work visas through the Hamas government to the people to come and work in Israel and come back. But because they're able to coin the conversation and label Hamas as a terrorist group, every Western nation now sympathizes with Israel as a victim because they are being attacked by terrorists. Because that same pretext the United States used to go into Iraq, go into all these places.
Yeah, all of these countries.
But you see, the lesson the U.S. have learned that they've not really forcefully, you know, embedded or encouraged Israel to learn is that with all the might that they had, Taliban is back in power now.
Yeah, in Afghanistan.
In the same country that they gave them ultimatum to leave. So at the end of every war, you're going to have to end up at the table. But that's why I said both nations, Israel, U.S., and Palestinian people, they're not being honest about solutions. Everybody knows that if you fight from now till eternity, you still have to come to the conference table to be able to resolve any crisis. But none of them is doing that since the last time they really have a serious peace talk was during Clinton era.
Wow.
And you have to remember that during that time, Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated for his role in trying to bring peace to Israel for two-state solution. That was when Arafat and Yitzhak agreed to some form of peace.
Yes.
But he was killed the same year by the extremists in
Israel. Some have even said that the way Yasser Arafat was killed, you know, it looks a bit, you know, some people are saying that.
It doesn't look a bit. He was assassinated. So by the extremists in his country.
Exactly.
It was because of the peace treaty. Because they never wanted, the extremists don't want peace with Palestinians. Just as some aspect of Hamas wanted Israel gone, the extremists in Israel wanted no place for Palestinians.
No place for Palestinians.
That's how complex this issue is.
So if you are to look at it, some have said, it's about land. And some other persons are saying this is about ethnic cleansing. Where would you place this?
The crisis is basically about land. But in order for you to gain people's land, you have to cleanse them off of that land.
Oh, dear.
I mean, you can't take my land until you kill me. People will fight till you die. That's what Hamas is doing. Mm. They would rather die than leave their land. So the two are together. It's basically about geography.
Geography.
And now it's coming. It has become geopolitics, because now the U.S. interest is now involved with a lot of Zionists in the government of the United States. The same thing in U.K. And a lot of them are supporters of Israel because of a lot of intertwined relationship they have with defense. You see, U.S. is the biggest spy for... I mean, Israelis are the biggest spy for United States.
For the United States.
That's why they are there. They're watching what Iran is doing, what they're doing in Saudi, what everybody is doing. So they want them there. The same reason why the Beaufort Accord came into being. They wanted somebody to counter the Arab people. That's why they put Israeli people back there. You know, with the Beaufort Accord, that it was given a land that he already promised to the king of Mecca, a sheriff of Mecca. He was promised the same land, piece of land, to the Zionists in the UK government. You know, that's where all this mess started from. Because Israel, Jewish people are all over the world, being prosperous, being doing whatever they're doing, until they infiltrated the UK government.
Heard.
And then they start to lobby for their own place. And that's how they come about the Palestinian land, which was at that time was not an autonomous state.
Okay.
But they were existing. And there were Palestinian people there.
Remember, you can also be a part of this conversation. The numbers to call, 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079. Or 0818-111-1079. 0818-111-1079. Hello, good morning.
Hello. Good morning to you there.
Yeah, good morning to you.
Yes, I'm Oladele from Abeokuta.
Oladele, let's talk.
Yes, I've been listening to your guys on this Israel Hamas war.
Yes.
I mean, the area I want to look at is the United Nations. What are they been doing? When you look at how war is coming up every year, we have Ukraine, Russia war, and now we have Israel and Hamas. What have been the influence of the Security Council? Is it not high time that Security Council said is democratized? We don't have any African representation there to be a permanent member of the Security Council that could influence a lot of things. There's need to be peace in the world. But the Security Council members, they are fairly well. Look at Russia there. Look at America there in Israel and Hamas. They are influencing, they are even contributing more to the problems we have all over the world than doing what they are expected to do. That's my thinking. That is the view of your guest there, please. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. Good. Thank you very much. What do you have to say to that?
Well, he nailed it in the head.
To democratize the Security Council.
They've been saying that, you know, because when you look at anytime there's a resolution that does not favor Israel, United States will veto the resolution. The humanitarian resolution are being carried out by China, Russia, and the rest of them. But U.S. will always veto it because each Security Council member has a veto power over the rest of them on any issue.
All right, let's
But mind you,
okay.
One thing that's important is that when the resolution was thrown to the General Assembly,
yes,
it passes overwhelmingly in support of the ceasefire or humanitarian pause. So you can see that if they democratize the United Nations, it will do
Council.
More good. Because they probably would not do that because they want to enjoy that veto power.
That veto power. So you don't see
and
it flying.
Because you can, if they democratize the Security Council, it will be best, but they won't do it because of the veto. Everybody want to have a veto power over a decision that's not favorable to them or to their allies.
Okay. 0815-432-1079. 0815-432-1079 or 0818-111-1079. We have this message on Facebook. We are live on Facebook, remember. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Please turn down the volume in your radio, please.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Thank you. Olabodi is ready.
Olabodi, let's talk.
Yes. Good morning, our resource person.
Good morning.
Before I move on to my, let me ask this quick one before I move on.
Okay.
Is it not out of place if you say, when we mention the Jew, that particular tribe is synonymous, or largely synonymous with the Israeli's identity.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
True.
That's true.
Hello?
True.
Okay, thank you. Now, my point is this. Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
People might be, because I want to be a good patriological, and then in our recent history,
okay.
People may be, I've not seen where people are, I mean, the books I've read, where people actually, categorically, point him out to be one of the biggest terrorists in history. Now, I'm not in support of the Holocaust and how the thing he unleashed on the Jews.
Yeah.
But the point is, even a devil, when a devil is put on persecution, definitely we have an advocate. Now, if you want to speak for Hitler, the question the world does not even have is this. What actually, instigated that, animalistic agenda that, Hitler, did, that kind of ethnic cleansing on them? So the thing has always been like, in fact, going back to the Bible, for those who love what Bible says, so is that it was Joseph that actually took them to Egypt. So Egypt was originally not their land. So there are certain things about them that always makes their oaths to always turn against them. It's the same thing the Palestinians hosted them in the first place, the same thing were hosted in the Germany. So, and it is this thing we call the superiority complex. When you are going beyond band, wherever you find yourself, you always want to dominate.
Mm.
You always, whether rightfully or wrongly, you always want to claim the ownership of that territory. I think that's the bane of it, and it is still happening now. And they are blessed. They are vastly blessed. So my point is just this, that it has always been like that.
Mm.
Before it started thinking of wipe them out, literally speaking and all that, something actually prompted it. And the hypocrisy in the world right now is that it's like the world power, those who could even actually, come to the rescue. They are actually...
Hello? Oh dear. He talked about, why is it that he started from when Joseph took them out of Egypt, okay? And he also talked about the Hitler issue, that something must have happened. But really, there should be no reason for you to say you want to, what happened during the Holocaust, okay?
Well,
there should be no reason.
I think what the caller was referring to is that the Jewish people always refer themselves as a superhuman. If I should use that word. That's why you're able to call a fellow human an animal.
An animal.
The line he was thinking is that something must have been happening when people try to prosecute them all the time.
Mm.
He talked about the people in the Nazis.
Yes.
Then he talked about the Egyptian. It's unfortunate because people have always opened their door to the Jewish.
To the Jews.
Hmm. And if you look at the United States during the 2016 election,
yes.
If you look at what happened in Charlottesville, there were a bunch of young men who are white.
Mm.
Those two are white supremacists who think they are white. They are supreme.
They are supreme.
They are supreme human beings.
Mm.
They were chanting, "Jews will not replace us." During the 2016 election,
yes.
And they were supposed to be supporters of former President Trump.
Donald Trump.
And even before now. Before they politicized anti-Semitism, a lot of people disparage the Jewish people.
Okay.
They attack them. They do all kind of things. You see the murders, attack on the synagogue in the United States in Pennsylvania at the time. So he's asking a legitimate question, that why do people always want to persecute them? I don't think that. I think that's about my pay grade.
Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah,
I'm David Kone from Africa.
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
Hello,
you.
Hello, can you
hear me? I can hear you. I can hear
you. Yeah. The question I want to ask, if you are Israel, if you are a country of Israel, or you are a leader, you are a prime minister of Israel,
okay.
And there are a group of people. Can you hear me clearly, sir?
I can hear you.
Yeah, and there are a group of people who even have it in their constitution that they are going to destroy you or they are going to destroy your country. Please,
okay.
Is it wise for you to leave such people? Maybe you should be staying beside each other, even when you know that you have the power to destroy them. Will you wait for them to come and destroy you, or you destroy them first? That is the question I want to ask. Thank you.
Okay, to answer that question,
okay.
There are always going to be different opinions.
Sure.
But I'm not sure the approach the Israeli people are taking is
the right one.
Because look at the children being left without a father. They will grow up to know that their father was carpet bomb for doing nothing because one militant part of Hamas
attacked them and killed 1,400 people.
Mm. That's why they are without father. So what do you think is going to happen to that child when he grows up?
So he'll grow up with that resentment.
You know, people have said that you are going to breed more, if you call them terrorists. Some people call them freedom fighters. But just like the Jewish people are fighting for their homeland, the Palestinians are fighting for their homeland
as well.
So the two-state solution will be the best solution to the problem, but both of them are not being honest.
Mm.
Like the last caller said, there must be sincere effort on the part of the international community to enforce, I use the word enforce, the two-state solution.
Two-state solution.
And create a boundary and enforce the boundary.
Mm.
They've done it in other countries where there is war.
Mm.
But it's only Israel that they are complacent.
True. All right, we need to go on this quick break. And when we're back, we take up more calls and we round off the show.
Hello, mommy.
Don't hello me, Yinka. Why have you chosen to remain like this?
What is it this time, mom?
Your wife called me earlier today crying over the phone. She said she's tired of your attitude towards everything, including the kids.
Mommy, is that why you called me? Don't let me change it for you too. You people should let a man breathe.
Yinka, Yinka.
Being a man is much more than just the gender. It requires maturity. Are you a man struggling with emotional changes of life? Do you need help in striking a balance between your life, work, and marriage? Help is here. Join Dr. Mrs. Olufunke Adetuberu, a counselor, therapist, and founder of Mending Lives at the Men College of Ministry for 6 weeks of intensive and dynamic information for all men on how to understand a woman, you and your sexuality, parenting with emotional maturity, and lots more. Physical and Zoom classes start 11th of November 2023 every Saturday by 12 noon to 3 p.m. For more inquiries, 0902 010-1080. Men College of Ministry, a must for all men.
We're back on radio. It is still the platform on Nigeria's number one radio station. Fresh 107.9 FM, Abeokuta. We have this message right here on Facebook. On Facebook, we have this message. Afolabi Ojuafo says that Israeli Defense Minister referred to Hamas as human animals, as their name sounds, and not Palestinians as a whole. We saw the pictures. But did you see the Hamas? Hamas is using civilians as a shield and putting their lives at stake. Another message here is from Okonlawo, and he says that it shows that we are in the end of times. Nations rise against the nations. You just had to go there. 0815-432-107. All right, my final question before we round off, because we need to round up by 10:55. The civilians and children caught up in the middle of this crisis. The United Nations, UNICEF, they've tried to champion the children who are affected by the crisis, and the death toll continues to rise. Now, so what are some of the options available on ground? Or perhaps, do you think the United Nations and other nations, do you think they should be doing more to protect the civilians caught up in this war?
Oh, definitely.
What are the options on ground?
Well, the option is what they've always done in other countries,
but
it's not applicable to Israel because of the United States. Usually when there is a genocide, they will organize an army. They will go there and organize what they call a peacekeeping. But they will not do it because the U.S. will veto it. So we are at the mercy of U.S. and Israel. So we have to continue to beg them. There is no military, like they always say in some cases, no military solution.
No military solution.
Otherwise, if it was somewhere in Niger and Nigeria, the UN would be here now.
Mm.
You know, bombing everywhere and creating a path to taking care of children. But even United Nations workers are being killed. About 37 of them have been killed. Journalists have been killed. True. And nobody's doing anything.
Mm.
So the world is at the mercy of the United States and Israel. Whatever they decide to do is what will happen. Yes, whenever the humanitarian instinct kicks in, if there's anything like that. And it has to be, the only thing that could solve the situation is what you are seeing around the world, mass protests in every country.
What if the Arab leaders now decide to say, okay, let us coming to this crisis. Let us just find a solution. The Arab leaders.
Through military means?
No, not true. Maybe
why they cannot?
Georgia.
If they can, they will have done that. That's why Blinken was meeting with them. They have to beg.
That's what I'm saying. Not military.
That's what they're doing.
Like, to Georgia and look, okay, let's find a solution. Because I said earlier that we saw Saudi Arabia going around the world, you know, talking about the World Cup of all things.
Well, something I forget to mention. Some people have said that was even why Hamas attacked Israel. Because they are being forgotten. Remember, Israel and Saudi Arabia were supposed to sign a peace treaty. It's technically a peace treaty where they recognize each other because Israel and Saudi Arabia don't have a pact.
Yes.
But now they are creating a way for them and I think one other country to make sure they have a peace treaty, they can have trade and what. And that's what people said. I cannot authenticate that. That's what Hamas saw, that they've been left behind before they strike. But a lot of people said Netanyahu is complacent. He wanted to divert the attention of the Israeli people. It's a lot of opinion flying around.
But anyway, thank you so much, Chief Mustafa Abdulhakim Olabi Oluwaseko Mao, Public Affairs Commentator. Thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Thank you too.
To have this conversation with
Thank
me.
You for having
My
me.
My name is Gbenga Oresegun, the man you just have to love. We'll be back again on Wednesday for another interesting conversation. Have a beautiful Monday and stay and be a good Nigerian. Good morning.
Broadcasting around the world. This is Fresh 107.9.
Makole Marale. Hello, Sam.
A very beautiful day to you, wherever you might be listening to us from. Thank you so much for joining us in this special broadcast, proudly sponsored by a renowned company. With me today in the studio, I have two amazing women who are here to talk about the company and what they have for us at this particular time. So good day to you, ma'am. What is your name and what company do you represent?
My name is Aziz Yetunde Rashidat from Sought After Projects and Service Limited.
And I am Eniola Titilayo Adedeji.
Okay, so good to have you both in the studio with me today. So tell us, what do you have for us today?
So we are here to introduce Island Estate Phase 2 Kobakwe Sagamu Expressway beside Muhammadu Buhari Estate. And we are having our end of the year promo, whereby you get a 5 kg bag of rice and 2 liters of oil for just 250,000 naira per plot. And that is not all. We also have a very flexible payment plan where you get to pay in installments for just 350,000 naira. You get to pay 35,000 naira for 10 months and get 5 kg bag of rice.
Fanfani, I want to buy a little Latin darapo mwoyi. Wole ma rope, these offers are too good to be true. And the question will be, shall we lay in she won't see no ego?
Pile won't she lay no bra, rack won't she lay on me, con she, I won't let her be tobacco de mama regret, be a motto in ballet, a big cocon, not at all. And our bitile wawa, school one bear is a developed area, school one bear, elite one bear. You know what? Okay, the road is very, very good, and the environment with the magbaduni. And cause we allow our money lay and she shall recite down money lay your down your akiwa lati wa buying. No, there's nothing like that. After any 100% guarantee, we pay cause the problem. Eh, you allow people warara to buy filidara for more. And trust us, your money is safe with us. Cause people ya magbuto and if we need, no, we are not like that. Like the way my partner has put it earlier. Oh wow, for debu like ento bale ko omule kishi. Installment wise, very okay. Like
jaya wa lati lo webiti amule wa.
Beni aye wa lati lo webiti le no wa. Ni November 11th ati on the 25th ni Oshutombo ani mega inspection. So, for anybody to be interested, let's see what we'll be in cutting fair call in room and let me see like your lorry 090-4496-3009.
Ibo wa ni ulu ile ise yin wa.
Ile ise wa ni Suite 71 Omida Shopping Complex.